Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You are listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of the Fiber Talk of the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Tonight, we go to Sydney, Australia for another Gallery 76 tour, Embroiderers Guild Galleries in New South Wales. April is going to give us a tour of their new exhibit, just opened Sunday, I think it was, called Not a Basket Case. And it's all modern basket art. I'm anxious.
I'm looking forward to it. I used to do a little basket weaving, and yeah. I'm really curious about this to see what's in there, you know, what they're going to show as modern.
Yeah.
Basket weaving.
It fascinates me. I'd never do it, but it fascinates me because of what people can create from basically dried grass, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And I have a friend that makes them with, pine needles, really, really tiny ones.
Oh, I've seen that kind of stuff. That's neat. Yeah,
it is. It is. So I can't wait to see what April's showing.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah. So a little different, not going to be needlework, be basket weaving, but, most interesting, I'm sure. And April will, of course, she impresses me every time that she, you know, of course she's curating these things. But to give a tour, she knows what she knows to do the exhibit, and I'm sure she's done enough of them that after a while you build up a knowledge base. But it's impressive to me what she knows, and like the last time, the lace thing, how she took us through that whole thing, and you know, we were informed. She got us the information. It was good.
That was an excellent gallery tour. That was wonderful.
Yeah, that thing is a really big deal. That lace. Month. I mean, it's a month that they do because they have classes and lectures and all kinds of things. That's an impressive deal for them. Yep. Yep. So join us 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel for a tour of the exhibit, Not a Basket Case, with April at Gallery 76 in Sydney. Yay. And then next Wednesday will be our first Thread Talk. I haven't come up with a better name, so I think we're just going to use that. Thread Talk with Kathy Ray. So Kathy Ray from Needle in a Haystack is going to join us, and we're going to talk about thread. And it's going to be the third Wednesday of every month now for the foreseeable future. Kathy will do a Thread Talk and talk about different kinds of threads and different types and how to use them and so on and so forth. So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
That'll be interesting because she's another fount of information.
Yes, she is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think she could go on for days talking about thread without any trouble at all. So,
yeah.
So join us for that. So two Wednesdays in a row, our tour with April tonight and next week, Kathy Ray. And we got a test yet, but we got it set up so that Kathy will have two cameras. One will be on threads and one will be on her face so that she'll be able to show us close up.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it's not just holding up a skein in front of her. She's got it lined up. We got to do a little testing, but got it lined up so that we could actually see the threads. And I don't know what all she's going to do, but last we talked, she definitely had a plan. You could tell the wheels had already been spinning. So, yep. So
excellent.
Join us for that. Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be good. And then this is like a week for different things. So Sunday is Lorraine Turner, textile artist Lorraine Turner. And I say this about every Sunday show because I really do enjoy all of them. But Lorraine Turner is most unique in what she does with fabrics and how she creates animals out of pieces of fabric and machine embroidery and hand embroidery, and like she takes fabric prints and makes them. It's amazing. And then the way she gets the ideas, I'm not going to spoil it, but the way you can read it on her website, but she talks about it quite a bit and we explore it a bit in the conversation. But the way she comes up with her designs, just an amazing woman and amazing talent. And if you go to calicohorses.com, that's her website, you'll see what she creates. And then to hear her talk about it Sunday, will just it'll stop you in your tracks. It really is good stuff.
And her and I saw her work on the cover of, I think it's the Quilting Arts magazine. Beautiful, beautiful work. Can't remember which.
I don't.
But
I've yet to figure out, and I've studied it a little bit just in preparation for the show, but even afterwards, because she really got me locked in. It's amazing to me how she'll take print, just fabric print, and make the what the print is on the fabric, the shapes, the colors, and everything, make it work to define animal anatomy. It's just amazing. Yeah.
So, that's quite a talent. Yeah, that'll be a great talk. Looking
so,
forward to that one.
Yep, Lorraine Turner. And then she has a live Facebook show that on Tuesdays. Tuesdays with Turner is what it's called, where she's on for about an hour. I caught one, and then I keep forgetting. Every time I remember, it's 1 o'clock here. But 1 o'clock Eastern time. On Tuesdays, she's on, and she just talks about what she does and how she's doing it and so on. It's fascinating work. It really is quite unique and quite impressive. So, and everything she does is focused on raising money to help with efforts to protect and support endangered animals. So, a portion of whatever she does always goes to that. That's the focus of what she does. Is to protect endangered animals as part of her overall thing. And when you listen on Sunday, you'll know why. But it's neat those people that do that have that second level to their art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where it's okay, I make this art, but at the base of that is my effort to help animals or to help people in need or whatever it might be. I think it's neat.
Right.
Yep. So that is Sunday. Don't miss that. And then, of course, we have the ongoing things, the Amanda Rowe, Solitary Stitcher, Sampler, Mary Jane Fry, that you can download for free at wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. And somewhere along the way, I put 1961 in because I wasn't paying attention. I corrected it, but if you were having trouble, just change it to 1861. Sorry. It happens.
It happens.
And then if you do wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861 kit, that will take you to Sassy Jack's, the page that Kim put together with a variety of kits for that sampler. So you can get different thread counts. I think she even has a couple of ADA and then various linen counts and then threads that she's put together some kits. So you can do that. So you can download the sampler for free and then buy a kit from Sassy Jacks. And then, of course, the Cosmo Thread Club, which is now in its second month at Sassy Jacks, 20 skeins of solid color for $21 plus shipping. And if your first order, FT Cosmo gets you 5 skeins of blue, Fiber Talk blue skeins for free. And then we learned last Wednesday that if you do... slash Cosmo variegated, you get the variegated threads, but you get 12 of those, not 20.
Yeah, only 12.
Yes.
But they're beautiful, so they're well worth it.
Yes. Yeah, and then if you're a Beth, then you order both. Yes.
Right. Of course. Because you need them.
Yeah. That's what I'm told. Yeah, is that you need them.
Yes. Yeah. You need them.
So, wetalkfiber.com/Cosmo or /Cosmo variegated. We'll get you in those clubs, and it's $21 for 20 or 12, depending on which one. And then FT Cosmo is five free skeins with your first order. And then you just collect the beautiful Cosmo threads. They're really nice. You know they're legit when Trish Burr is asking for a good supplier of them because she likes them and wants to use them. So, if you had any doubts, just because Beth and I like them, if you had any doubts whether we know anything, we don't know anything. But Trish Burr does, and she's looking to use them. So, yes. Good stuff.
They are beautiful.
And then, beautiful if you go to wetalkfiber.com/Spring Hill, that's where you can still get in on the stitch along with Spring Hill, the Karen Kluba Rosewood Manor Spring Hill design, which we are having some fun with.
Yes.
This has gone off down a different road.
It has. We've kind of veered a little bit. Not too much, but just a little.
Just enough.
A little veering.
Yep.
Just a little.
Yeah. I'm really... Now, last night... Okay, so... Like, I start upper left corner, so that's a vine with some leaves and flowers on it. And last time Beth and I were together, and I think even when Jennifer and I talked last week, I was trying to do a stem stitch for the vine. And with one strand of soie d'Alger, it was not working. It was just basically looking like a backstitch straight line. It just was there wasn't enough substance to the thread, and I tried different things, and I just couldn't get it to look right. So I went just back to backstitching because that's the way Karen designed it. And then we were talking, was that last Wednesday on the show, right?
Right.
Yeah. Carrie.
On the live show.
Yeah. On the, yeah, that's right. Where we talked for an hour and a half. Yeah. But,
yes.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I looked up the clock. It was already an hour and a half. That's okay. We had fun. Carrie Noss, I'm going to go with that. Suggested doing a backstitch and then whipping it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you suggested there's the stem, the vine, the main vine is one green, and then there's a lighter green for the leaves, and you suggested using that color. So I laid that color on top of the thread that I'd stitched in, the backstitch, and I think you're right, that will work. But I have not tried to whip that to see what it will look like. But I have a feeling it's going to work just right. And that will give me that visual, that little visual rope look that I want. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And just give it a little bit more dimension up there.
Right. Right. Because that vine, I mean, it's just straight backstitch. So it doesn't have, other than the fact it curves up and down, there's very little substance to it with one strand of silk thread. And right. I wanted, that's what I wanted, just a little bit more substance and a real sense of a twisted rope it was either do a single strand or anything else I did was just overwhelming. So this whipping idea looks good.
Right. And because you're going to be using a slightly lighter color too, it might, I think if you use the same color, it might be too dark. It might make it too heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's going to work because, yeah, well, after the show last Wednesday, that was the first thing I did. I did the drawing, then I came right back downstairs and hauled out the next lighter color and laid it on there. And I thought, okay, this is going to work. I think it's going to work just fine, but I wanted to stitch more of the vine, more of the base vine, so I got that done.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're all the way around on the vine?
No, left half.
Center, oh, okay.
Like I think I went to the center top and then all the way down the side with that. Yeah, because I'm just going to work the left corner for now and see how that works. Because then I got down to the end there, and then there's three eyelet stitches.
Right.
At the end. And so then that's what I was playing with last night, because between you and me and Jennifer, and we talked about doing Jessica stitch. And... So you played with that because you're using 103, right?
Right. I'm using the 100/3. And I went ahead. I have the eyelets in on those three green ones on the left side. I have those in. And I like them. I think they look nice at the end of the vine.
Now, but before you go on, did you do them in the three colors that Karen specified, or did you just make them all the green?
No, I did the three colors. Look nice. Yeah, it does look nice that way.
Yeah.
Of course, because Karen designed it that way. But I'm doing those Jessicas, and I'm doing them. I knew whatever I did for those little flowers, they were going to be eyelets. I was not going to change colors because to me, it becomes too busy for my own eye. I don't know why I don't like all that variation on something like that. So that I'm just going to pick the color I like, and I'm going to do them around. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try the Jessica.
Wait, back up. So because Karen has different colors for each of them, so you're just going to pick one and make all the flowers all the way around the same color.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know which color I picked. It's this, but it's like a reddish purple one. Anyway, but I've started doing Jessica's and I love them. And I'm still debating. So someone suggested I put a little French knot in the center of them. And I could do that. I don't mind French knots, but I'm also thinking I might have some really, really tiny yellow beads and put one of those in the center of each of them. Because they do form like a little cup. And I, as long as the beads are small enough, it might work.
Yeah, see, that's been the fun part because you stitched Jessica's and you're using the 103. I'm using Soie d'Alger and Jennifer's using DMC. And so you did it, and I thought the close-up you showed. I thought, oh, that's too open in the middle for a flower. But then when you showed it in the context of the overall design, that hole in the center that shows up with you, it almost disappears. But there's that little opening. And yeah, I had my first thought was a yellow French knot right dead center. That would be fantastic. But yeah.
But also a little bead. Now, see, I don't
Right.
mind. Some people like French knots and some people like beads. I'm gonna have to use whatever will fit in there. But I'm thinking just a little bit of, because I know if you put the beads in, that'll add, because I know the ones I have are probably have a little sparkle in them. They might even be like silver lined, so they'll reflect the light a
Yep.
lot.
Yep.
So, but the flower is such a kind of it looks very dark there, and I'm thinking if I have something that's a little light in the center that brightens it that might just be what it needs. So I've got to dig through my stash and find those beads.
Yeah, see, I didn't think of beads till you just mentioned it now, and that, yeah, I would agree with you. It'll put a little sparkle all the way around the top.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the end, I might decide to use beads somewhere else.
Right.
You know,
Right.
I don't. Oh, I can. Well, I can see other places I can put beads.
See, that's the fun thing. That's what I was thinking last night. This design, which is for all intents and purposes a straight cross stitch design with some eyelets,
Right.
and back stitching, which is nothing. But this design lends itself to this kind of approach very well. And so last night when I was playing with Jessica's, making Jessica's on the side and seeing what I was getting, I was thinking, this is fantastic because this really does. And then you always have the base design to fall back on if things don't work.
Right.
And yeah, because now see my Jessica with the 103 with the Soie d'Alger, I don't really get and I don't get any opening in the middle.
Really?
Yeah, no. And I kept thinking, I got to get closer to what Beth has when I was doing it. I said, come on, how come this is, but it doesn't. It makes a little, a nice little mound with kind of a swirl to it. And in the center, it's open, but it's not open all the way to the linen because the thread is thicker.
Right.
And so it gives me a different kind of flower that I like. And of course I'm looking at it under the or the magnifier. And then when I pulled back, I thought, oh, this is going to work.
Right.
And so I got a different, see, I got a different one. And then when Jennifer showed hers with DMC and she was getting really a different look from that. So it's interesting to see. 'Cause then I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe I'm going to find a thinner thread to make mine, but then I said, no, I'm going to stick with, I like what I get, so I'm going to stick with that.
Well, right. And it also depends on where you start that one, too. Your first, wherever you start that makes the difference in your, a little bit of a difference in your Jessica shape.
Yes.
So I don't know if that made a difference either, but yeah.
Yeah, I started lower left, and I mean, I just got a look I like, so it's fine, yeah.
And I was even thinking at one point in time about doing like detached chain, a lazy daisy stitch. But then I realized that would probably be too big in the space, because it's just a little eyelet there. And to do something that looked like a flower would be too big. You'd have to change the design a little bit, I think, to get that in there.
Yeah, agreed. Because that was what I was struggling with last, or reminding myself, not struggling with, I was reminding myself, is you can't let this vine at the top get too heavy because it's a framing device, and if it gets too heavy, it's going to take away from the main design. And because I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to make it bigger. And I, no, don't make it bigger because then the flowers start to dominate and you don't want that.
No.
So now I got to, so you, now you got me thinking, because I was going to go with the color she had spec'd all the way around, but I'm liking your idea of just choosing the color I like for the flowers and making it the same all the way around.
Right. And it just something that I prefer.
So yeah, I'm
Because
really
I'm still
enjoying this.
stopping and starting every time. It's not like it makes any difference on that. You know, you're still stopping and starting everyone. Oh, I wonder if we could put a big Jessica. There's a spot that's got like a little pinky flower. And I'm thinking, what if you put a Jessica there? Or a road stitch?
That could
That might
work.
work.
I have to get that up now and see. Is dangerous. But
Because I don't
just
know,
here.
it's fun to do. It's fun to do because it does. It makes it your own. I'm sure Karen doesn't mind. It doesn't care one way or another.
No. But see, this is, and we've been talking about this a lot, making it your own, and this is one of those designs that I think really lends itself to just kind of stretching yourself. Experiment a little bit. You can, because you can try, there's all kinds of places where you can try things and see if you like them, and none of them are really huge. It's not like you're committing to a huge area. You can just try little specks here and there and see if you like them. And if you don't, you rip it out and you go back to what Karen designed. But
Not a big deal.
no. So yeah, this is fun. Now, of course, I said to Marga, this has really slowed down the process because I could have been way down the road with this thing for the hours I put in. But I don't care. I had fun last night on the side just trying Jessica's and just seeing what I could do with it, and it was just fun. And then I stitched them in, and they worked out, so I'm going with it.
And I think sometimes, and it's easy to think, oh, I want to get this done so I can work on the next project. But there's also the joy in the journey, the joy of just enjoying the colors, enjoying the stitching in and of itself. And this piece, I like it when I take it out and I look at the colors and I look at my box of threads and all the colors are in because they're beautiful. The colors in and of themselves are just gorgeous. And then to just say, oh yeah, I'm going to play with this a little. I'm going to see if this Jessica will work. Or now I'm looking at this piece and I'm thinking, oh, I got to find a stitch that'll go in that little pink square there. Because I think a road stitch might work, or I don't think a waffle, but maybe a Rhodes.
Now,
Just give a little texture there.
Now, see, you got me with the beads. You got me thinking that big blue flower in the upper center there. Those little vertical stitches she has in the diamonds. Now that says that maybe a bugle bead in each of those.
Oh, yes. And actually, I do have blue bugle beads.
See? That says that to me.
You'd have to have a small, well, I'd have to have a very small bugle bead because I'm on 45 count.
And it might be a struggle for me to get one too. I don't know.
Well, and the other problem with bugle beads, is the edges are sharp and it does cut your thread if it wears a lot. You just need to be aware of that, and you want to go through more than twice.
Okay. Well, I normally do anyway, so that's fine.
Right. And it's not like this piece isn't going to be something you're using, you know, you're not,
Right. Yeah.
where the bugle bead's going to get moved around or whatever. It's
Right.
going to be hanging on the wall, so it's less likely to. But you know, how many stitches is that in that? Let's look at my pattern real quick.
Five. Well, there's nine. There's nine of those little vertical things.
Right, but how many?
Three.
Okay, there's nine of the verticals, but how big are the verticals in and of themselves?
Three
Three,
stitches,
three.
maybe?
Three.
Is it what it is? Yeah.
So I'd have to have something that was six threads long. I might have a bugle bead that's the right size. That would add just enough sparkle to
Yep.
that.
Well, and see that if you put beads in all the flowers all the way around the outside,
Right.
that would help the continuity there. That would be good.
Right. Now I've already finished the little pink upside down tulip. Or I would say put a long, even a long bugle bead down the center of it.
Yep. Yeah.
I
Well,
guess
yeah.
lay it on top, but
Yeah, you can. Yeah, who said you couldn't? Yep.
yeah, that would work.
Yep.
I don't know if they all need it or if it would be better just to keep it in the center so your eye is drawn there, because that's where your eye goes anyway to
Yeah.
that blue flower. If you just kind of close your eyes and look, that's where your eye pops to.
Right. Yeah.
And the other thing I love about this design is it's almost like two halves. Like if you thought, it's just too big, I'm not going to do the whole thing. The top half, where we're working now, is beautiful. That those bands,
Yep.
and then so is the bottom. I mean, I like it both, but you know, so the bottom half in and of itself is gorgeous. If you know, cover the top half of the design, and just dividing it up that way.
Yeah, you can just stitch all the way down to the big fat band that's just above the center and end it there, and you have a very nice sampler piece.
Right.
Yep.
But I love the hill, and I keep on
Yeah.
looking at these hill, and I know it's a lot of stitching. But I'm also wondering if I did them. You made me think about this. I keep thinking satin stitch on that light green top. I think that would look good just there. But then I'm looking at these like shapes, and if you stitch them solid and then went over them again with the lazy daisy, then like the top row of them, that might look cool. That might look cool. And then I can see a little spot to put beads. I don't know if I, and my local bead shop closed, which was a sad thing.
Uh-oh. So you end up buying three kinds of beads to get the one you want now because you can't see them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I
I but
know.
I have But I have a friend that has a color card. And so
Oh.
if I called her and said, okay, I need something that matches this, can you suggest?
Oh, okay. See, I know the sheep on the hill are going to get French knotted for me. That's almost a given.
But
Yeah.
that bird needs something.
Yes, it does. I haven't figured that out yet. Yep.
I wonder how big it is physically, you know, how big it would be on my piece, and if I even have like a charm or something that I could stick there
Oh.
instead of stitching it. I mean, I might have something that I've purchased over time that would look very cool at that spot.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be too heavy, you know, because I could see something there. I could see like a something, I don't know, silver. I have to go look through my stash.
Yeah.
That's why we have
But yeah.
stash, right?
But this is, you know, this is where this one is so much fun. And you know, for those who can't see it or aren't doing it, you know, obviously the message is look at the piece you're working on and take a look at what you might do different. And it doesn't have to be much, but just poke around and experiment a little bit and see if you can add a little extra dimension, a little extra feel to whatever you're working on. And you know, this one just lends itself to a lot of this experimentation, and it's fun. It adds a dimension of fun to it.
Right. And it makes it your own. And that's the other thing, I think. I think sometimes I don't want mine to look like everybody else's. I want mine to look uniquely my own. Not that mine's ever going to be shown next to someone else's unless our guild happens to have their show again. But for the most part, it just hangs in my home. But I like mine to be uniquely mine, I guess, you know. So, and that kind of gives it, you know, kind of puts your own stamp on it.
Well, see, for me, who enjoys the process more than the final result, I'm just, it's added a new dimension just playing with this. Like last night, I mean, I spent a good couple of hours. I was just trying, you know, if I make the Jessica a little bigger, a little smaller, I tried a different thread, didn't like it, you know, but just the process of doing that and then just concluded, I'm happy with the thread I'm using and it worked out. So then I stitched them in. But it was just fun doing that on the side, just doing it in the margin. And I just enjoyed it. And seeing what could be done.
Right.
And you don't know, like what I went through last night with that, and then what I went through with the vine trying to do stem stitch, you know, I mentally just file that away because there's going to be a time when that works. And then I'll haul it out and say, all right, I remember I did this. It didn't work here, but I bet it'll work here, and it probably will. So, I don't know. Yeah, so I just think it's a fun exercise, and the end result
Right.
is, like you said, you have your own design, you have your own piece, personal.
Right.
And I guarantee
And you're
it. Go ahead.
doing all the hard legwork that, you know, the designer did, you know, to, you know, she's done all the heavy lifting. We're just playing with it a little bit.
Yeah, and I guarantee you she won't care.
Right.
It's not like she's
No.
going to get upset because you changed her design, hardly. Matter of fact,
No.
she'll probably applaud you for doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun, there's more, much more to this than just do another stitch along of a cross stitch piece. And the colors are magnificent.
They are.
The,
They're just they're just they're just fun to look
yeah,
at.
'cause I've got, four, three rings of silk, because I never put the Hannah Longstreth one away yet, and then two other samplers, and then this one, all in my basket of active things on the table, on the desk, and this, the color, the ring of colors for this one just jumps out every time.
Right.
It's really, really a stunning combination.
It is. It is.
So there we go. Join us. Join us. You can catch up to me really quickly.
I don't think, well, any of us will ever catch up to Jennifer,
No,
but
no. No, we won't.
no, but that's all right. It's not a race.
That's right. Jennifer's flying. But so that's, it's just been fun. And then we were talking beforehand. We had Natalie Dupuy on 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Gave us a little a basic color lesson. So go back on the Wednesday show 2 weeks ago. Natalie Dupuy joined us and just talked about color. And I bought a color wheel. And based on that, because she kind of got me charged up about it. So I bought a color wheel from the from you know creatively named the color Creative Color from the Color Wheel Company. They worked hard on that name.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, because we were talking ahead of time, because it just came today. We're recording on Tuesday, so it just came today. And fascinating little thing. I've never owned one. And then you were telling me, kind of got me even more excited about what I can do with this thing, because I've never owned one. Didn't know. I mean, you see them, you know, and they just like, oh, those are nice colors. That's a nice thing, and you can twirl it around, and oh boy. But
Woohoo.
but now, you know, after Natalie talked to us, I'm really starting to see why these things are so valuable.
Right. You know, if you can, it's if you took the colors from Spring Hill and started, you know, putting them along on the color wheel, especially, and seeing, you know, maybe It'd be interesting. Well, it's got a lot of the greens, but I'm sure it's not equal. I'm sure all the colors aren't equal, but where are they on that color wheel? I mean, it looks like mainly it's like a primary color wheel. Red, blue, and yellow. And then you've got the greens in there, but that almost acts as the yellow. And so that's, and just if you sometimes if you're playing with color, it's nice to know what to use. You know, it's like her choice of color is just so amazing in this. And I think even taking her colors and placing her on the color wheel, you've learned a lot about color theory that way.
Just seeing how she put it together.
Yes. Yes.
That would be interesting because I just pull off, just pull off the thread drops I have all those on and lay them around there and see what I get.
It'd be easier with my 103 spools even.
Because you'd see where the colors bunch up. That's a good exercise.
Yes, and that would be, and it just helps train your eye, you know, because I am these col this is I love bright colors. So this is I'm very, very drawn to Spring Hill. Some of the muted prem colors don't appeal to me. I'm not as drawn to some of those pieces. But if I could change them to these the brighter colors that I like and make the pieces more my own, then it would be more appealing.
And you can. I mean, I still think taking a reproduction sampler and stitching it on white linen or just slightly off-white linen and brightening up the colors would be a fun thing to do. You know, take the, like you said, take those muted colors, trying to make it look antique and say, no, I'm going to take this blue and I'm going to go electric blue with it. And bright yellow and all those things, and do it on white. I think it would be a fun thing to see, and I bet it'd be pretty neat.
And it'd be, you know, if you had time, this is if you did it both in the color it originally showed you originally was stitched in, and then or you had someone else do it and you could compare them the two together side by side. That's an interesting, I think would be an interesting exercise.
Because see, when it comes to reproduction samplers, see, I don't care for a lot of the linens that are basically made to look old and yellowed and dirty or whatever, antiquey. I don't like those, and I mean that people get good results out of them. I just personally, I don't care for them. I prefer something lighter, no matter what. And so yeah, I've often thought to take. Where I struggle with it is, to me, part of doing a reproduction sampler is being true to the original, but somewhere along the way, I want to just go a little crazy and see.
Well, and then the Amanda Roe one, the Mary Jane Fry might be a good one, although
Yes.
it's long. You know, it's only six colors or eight colors or something.
Right, yeah. So that'd be an easy conversion to make.
Just brighten the whole thing up.
Yep.
Use those Cosmos threads.
That might be the one right there. You may have just hit it. Where I'll just get a white linen and take those colors and brighten them up and see what happens.
And even change them out. So let's say you don't like the red, just change it to blue and or you know, or there's a brown. I know she used brown in there, I think, and change it to a different color.
See, there's things you can do. It's fun to do that. I think it's fun to look at it. And this Spring Hill one has gotten me a little, given me a little more excitement here because I'm seeing just playing with this stuff has been fun. And at some point, I actually have to get some of it stitched, but.
Well, and then all right, the other thing, even if all you did was take your color wheel out, you pulled the colors for Mary Jane Fry and you put them around your color wheel, and then you said, okay, I'm going to start switching colors out. And that might, even just doing that exercise with the floss and taking a photo of it and keeping it for later when you say, oh yeah, maybe I want to work on this later. Keep it, that would be a note for you.
Well, see, and I think I'm gonna do Mary Jane Fry, and I'm gonna, if I do it, I'm gonna do it with Cosmo Thread. So that immediately makes me have to match up colors
Right.
or decide what the colors are gonna be. So, because I want to do that with Cosmo Thread. Yep, another use for my color wheel. I'm gonna like my color wheel, I think.
I think you will. I think you will.
Yeah, but I'm still gonna get the one like you have, the Dritz one that
Yes.
has holes in it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good
And
one.
it is a good one because it has shades in the hole. And so there's a hole, and around the hole are like shades of color. So if it's blue, it's got like a navy blue, and then all going around, you get like a grayish blue. So that way you can really match the shades with whatever's looking through that little hole. And that makes a huge difference too. I mean,
How come you can't just buy, when it comes to this stuff, you can't just buy one? Like, I can't just buy a color wheel. You know what I mean?
you need them both. You need them both.
And for someone who's, color theory challenged like me, when I saw yours, where I can lay it over a color and see surrounding it, to me, that's a good crutch for me.
And it is nice because, like I said, I have trouble sometimes if something is a shade and I'm trying to get colors to work to play nice together. I can't always tell if it's been grayed, and I'll say, and I need the color that I'm trying to pick with it to be grayed too. And it's not working when I'm pulling colors. So I'm like, okay, let me get my color wheel out, stick them underneath and see what my problem is. And it makes a huge difference.
So I got to get that. That's for people who are wondering, Dritz makes it. And just Dritz color wheel, you'll find it. It was easy.
Not hard at all. And it's small, so you can carry it with you when you go places. That was the other thing. I think it was originally made for like maybe quilters or people who do yarn, knitters. But I think it's very helpful for stitchers because like if you can actually go to a shop and look at colors and lay them out and play with them that way.
Okay. That's our next thing. Everybody go to a shop with color wheel in hand. People are holding up color wheels all over the place.
Playing with them, playing with color.
So this Natalie Dupuy gave me just barely enough information to be dangerous, and now I can start to see. That was really helpful. Her presentation was really helpful to me.
It was excellent. She just had a lot of great information in there. Even if, you knew some about color, she had a lot of information in there. It was a really great show.
And I was asking, I'm sure there were people in the audience rolling their eyes when I was asking questions, but because I just don't know a lot of this stuff, and I just had to learn from her. It was just really effective. But I did feel like I was asking a lot of really stupid questions, but oh well.
Well, and if you have questions, other people do too. Isn't that
That's
how that works? I know it is.
yep. Oh yeah, as a former teacher, I know that firsthand. Yep. I have a question. Oh, it's stupid. No, ask it. And then you see eight other kids in the room go, "Wait a minute. That was my question." It's all right. I don't care. I'll ask the dumb questions. I don't care. Whatever. So anyway, the Color Wheel Company is where I got this, and they have a truckload of different varieties, but anyway, that's what I got. Got that. And then I got the grayscale value finder that Natalie was showing. So I'm semi-armed. I'm armed with two tools and a lot of stupidity. Look out.
Look out. Now it's time to play.
Well, that's all right. You know, it's like I said to you, I have the DMC color card, the one with the threads on it, and I've used it, you know, I've used it some just to find colors and, you know, I've used it, but I've never felt like it was really that valuable to me. Well, now with a color wheel, I can see. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Takes on a different dimension to the whole thing. Yeah.
Right. Right. And if you can, you get the other one with the little holes in it, you can start playing with values and.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Cause then I can lay it right over the color card and yeah. Yeah. Look out. Look out. I'm going to be dangerous. So there Definitely. Was a, there was an interesting post in on Instagram, Society for Embroidered Work. And it right. was an interesting discussion about, and we've had this discussion before, so it's not new, but is embroidery, is needlework art compared with painting, sculpting, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it was a really good one. So look that up on Instagram. It's really good on two fronts. One, it's an interesting discussion, but two, people kept a level head throughout the discussion. So you didn't get these rants and raves. Everybody just had a nice civil discussion about it. And so it made it informative and interesting. So I really appreciated that. But, you know, it perceived as woman's hobby rather than art.
Yes. I think sometimes it is. And it's interesting because if you look at the history, it used to be that was what men did the embroidery.
Right.
But I think people see it as, you know, something women did at the house, you know, little domestic work for whatever reason. And, but that doesn't, it doesn't make it less art if women do it. And in fact, I mean, that's crazy. I don't, you know, when I see things on Instagram, I don't, things that I like that are, I would say more art bent. I don't look to see if it's a man or a woman who created. I look at the image itself.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's, I wonder too, if it's because, you know, people were doing it more to decorate their homes mm-hmm. than, and that connotates craft versus art.
Yeah.
So what pushes it to art? You know, what pushes it to the level of it being art?
Right.
I don't know if I would say what I do is necessarily art. I think it more is craft. It's a good hobby. It's like when you're practicing drawing or something, you're not creating art necessarily. You're learning a skill or it takes a little extra something to make it into art, but there's definitely needle art that is art.
Yes. But Let me back you up there. Okay.
Okay.
So what you do, you don't view as art, okay?
Right.
Yet what we just talked about with Spring Hill, that's a piece of art that Karen Kluba created. Yeah. And we are taking that and putting our own spin on it.
Right.
So, okay, so two questions. How is that not art? But then also at the level that we all operate as opposed to someone with, you know, decades of high level experience, are we not just in the early stages of what any artist would be in developing their skill and their voice? And so therefore, is that not art? But just at a basic level, you know what I mean?
Right, right. So it's, I know if you're learning to do art, they generally have you copy the masters.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of what I feel like I'm doing. Until I think I make it totally my own, that I'm still just copying what Karen has done. Yeah, Karen's work is definitely art.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
But then we're doing Trish and Wynn's 17th century white work sampler thing.
Right.
And so we're all working on the first sampler. There's four of us that have been getting together every week and working on this thing. But the first thing you did was change all the colors.
Yes, because that's just me.
Well, but see, that's my point. So I'm stitching the colors that are specified just because that's what I'm doing. And I like them, but also that's just what I'm doing, and I don't really want to take the time to change them. But you didn't like them. You wanted to change a thing. So now that piece is already yours, and it's already making your statement with the colors you chose. So how is that not art, even though you are replicating in terms of shape and stitches, replicating whatever source that sampler is from? But you took it and changed it because yours has a very different look from what the rest of us have.
That's true. That is true.
So, see, and for me in these discussions, it's the terms that get in the way because it's craft, the terms craft and hobby and art and sewing, those kinds of things. I think get in the way of the discussion of whether it is a beautiful piece of art. And
Right. And you know what? And I think the thing is, I think it's because I'm stitching it. If I saw my piece, someone had done it and put it in a museum, I would say, wow, look at that. That's art. So maybe it's more of a personal thing, but you're right. I think that, we get caught up in those terms.
And see that to me, that's where it breaks down in a hurry. Is that because now, like for instance, when we could travel, my dad is a train model train maniac, and he loves to ride on trains, and he lives near Flint, Michigan, and there's a group of people who are all train freaks, and so twice a year they will get on the train at the crack of the dawn in the morning, and they will ride from Flint to Chicago. And then for me, it's just getting on a commuter train, and I will meet him at the station, and we'll be able to talk, have lunch, talk for 3 or 4 hours, and then they take the train back to Flint that night. So, and for all the train freaks, it's a day of riding on the train, and then they go to Chicago and do a little shopping and have lunch, whatever. But for me and my dad, it's a chance to get together when we live 6 hours apart, And easy for him to travel because he's 85 and he just can't jump in a car and drive like that. So, and so one time he and a friend comes along with him. My dad needs a cane now, and it helps if a friend is along to help him up and down steps and stuff. And so we were talking, and I have no idea how it came up with this friend of his, but that podcasts. And I said that yes, and I mentioned Fiber Talk. And that I was doing this, and I said, it's going to seem weird to you, but I do this podcast called Fiber Talk about needlework. And my dad, who was kind of half paying attention at the moment, but when I said needlework, he looked right at me, he said, sewing? Well, that's 85 year old, men's work, women's work mentality. And I said, no, it's not that. Not in meaning it's not the sewing you're thinking about, like I'm sitting there mending socks, and I just dropped it because I knew I wouldn't get anywhere with it. But it's that mentality. And see, and as a male in this hobby, and there's another term, this hobby, I did not make a big deal out of my interest in needlework, which I've done since I was in college. And I'm 66 now, so a long time. And because I didn't want males making fun of me, and so I just kept it quiet, though I enjoy it. And then I reached some point in my 50s where it's like, do I really care anymore? No, I don't. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm not going to be quiet about it. And this podcast is fun to do. And I learn things and help other people learn things. And so I don't care anymore. I'm old enough. It's like one of my favorite comedians, Marc Maron, says, I don't know how much time I have left, and I'm going to do what I want to do, you know? But you know, so for me, it's that extra thing of a male, you
And
know.
something that's real, mainly a female
Right.
hobby or
Right.
craft. And I think sometimes, like I know there was this huge deal that went on when quilting, you know, there was in 1976, you know, quilts became really big, started becoming big. And then they moved to the art quilt movement. And then there were a few men that came on, and there was a big kind of like an anger towards some there in some quarters, there was an anger towards those men
Yep.
who, because it was like you're trying to take over what we've done for years,
Yep.
you know.
I
And
felt
I
and
don't
I
think that was
felt that. I felt that
right.
anger from time to time. Yes.
I can imagine. I can imagine because I don't, and to me, it's like, hey, the more the merrier. You know, if we can get it, it has so many benefits just to do any sort of hobby. It, we should have, and especially since COVID in 2020, doing this something with your hands. They've said it's, you know, it's so good mentally. And so the more, yeah, why make a difference? It doesn't, you know, male, female, it doesn't. But I do think because it's been predominantly something that women have done, the needle arts, it isn't considered as high art as a sculpture or painting or any of those things. And I read a little article on Mae Morris, and it said something about her, you know, it was because she couldn't join the men's fine arts, she made a women's one. A women's fine art society. And she was an embroideress. And I knew William Morris. I knew her father was a very famous designer. But I could not, for the life of me, remember her name, where his name, you know, immediately comes to mind for his textiles and his work. And yet she was very influential. But she is not as prominently paid attention to as her father. And she did a whole lot of work in his studio, was very influential in his studio, if I'm, you know, from what I've read. And, but because she was female, I'm sure that's why. And but that was, you know, I think we're changing more and that's becoming less of a problem. It's still there. There is some of that going on. But I think needle art, I think, and I'm going to mention EGA, they really do promote taking needle and thread to the next level. And promoting not just in doing things that are different, but really trying to educate and make what you're stitching better. So with their master craftsman programs and those sort of things. So
Well,
I don't know where I was going.
that's an excellent example because for me, if I go to the EGA website, the feeling, the reaction I have is this is a site about art. Not this is a site about classes you can take and 15 ways you can learn to thread a needle. This is a class about art, developing art and elevating the art you're doing. And I don't know what it is about that site, why it's put, how it's put together. Whoever designed it did an excellent job, but it just gives that feeling that this is an organization that is about art. It happens to be needle and thread. Who cares? You know?
And for years they've been promoting it's a fiber artist forum. And some people do things that are a little bit more traditional, but then there's the other people with needle and thread who do things that are way out there. But equally, all of them are represented. And you can look at them in the gallery. They have it in the sometimes they'll have gal shows, and you go to the gallery section of the website. And you can see photos and images. But they promote the whole spectrum. It's not just let's see how far we can push the envelope, although they encourage that, but they also encourage that excellence with needle and thread. And that's what I like. I like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation because there's so many facets to it. And at the core of it is why are we even asking the question about whether needlework is art? You know, why is that even a question? You would not ask that question about sculpture or oil painting or watercolor.
No, or even architecture. You know,
Oh,
looking at
there.
some of the you know, I love looking at buildings. You know, there is art there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think anyone would dispute that. That is absolute art every time. Well, okay, Taco Bell is not art,
Right.
but no, it's serious architecture is art. There's no question.
Right. And we don't question that, but I do. I still question, oh, is what I'm doing art? I guess it's, I wouldn't question what you're doing as art, but I guess I questioned it for myself.
But see, that's weird.
I didn't say I was normal.
But why would you? See?
Well.
You know, I mean, I don't I honestly don't think about it much till these topics come up, 'cause for me it's just I just enjoy doing the
Doing what
needle
I'm
and
doing.
thread thing. You know, that's just
Right.
fun. And I really don't care, you know, what whether people think it's art or women's work or whatever it is. I used to, but I will say, the guy that I work for that owns the magazine company, great guy, really good, one of the best people I've ever worked for. But he's very much a jock kind of guy, and I don't think he has a clue what I do with needle and thread, and I would never bring it up because I know the reaction I would get, and it's just not worth it. But you know,
Well,
I
and
just.
even me, even, you know, I've had people say, oh, I used to do that. You know, like that's such a frivolous
Oh,
pastime that you're
yes.
doing that. You know, I don't have time for that anymore. And I just want to like, so what do you do with your spare time? Everybody has some downtime. You must do something else with it. What do you do? And I do like doing needlework because when I'm it might take me years, but when I'm finally done with the project, I have something to show for it. And I like that. I like it when I have something I can say, here, I made this
Yeah.
with my own two hands.
Right. Yeah, and
And that's a nice feeling.
that frivolous thing, you know, there's another word. You know, frivolous. Okay, come here and sit down with me. Let me show you a few people. And then you come away from that and tell me it's frivolous. You know, let me show you Yvette Stanton's white work and tell me that's frivolous.
Oh, her stuff is so
You
pretty.
know, but I don't think you can, you would not put that word anywhere near her.
No. And that's it. I think people I think they see it as, you know, oh, you should be doing something more useful. And I'm like, so don't you do something for downtime? You know, this is what I do for my downtime, and I find it very
Yeah.
relaxing and enjoyable and I bet Stanton. Yeah, that made me think of I have a jacket and I'm thinking I need to get some her new book. I can't wait till it comes out because I'm thinking a strip of that where I do it with linen and then I attach it to the jacket.
Yep. Yes. And we have her new book pre-ordered from the Sassy Jacks, so
That's right.
that's
That's
right.
right.
Yep. Yeah, I want to do that one sampler. But it's just, yeah, this whole thing is just an interesting discussion. And I don't know how you come away from it saying that needlework is not art. I don't know how you do it. Unless you're just so locked in that it's women's work and it's akin to mending a shirt. You know, I mean, if that's your mentality, then that's the way it's always going to be. my dad is a prime example. but if you look at, I mean, put in the word embroidery and in Instagram and go through that and tell me that's not art. I don't know how you do
that. Right. And it's interesting. I think it's reaching young people now as a way to something relaxing, something, you know, you're useful at the end result. You get something at the end and you have something beautiful to show for it.
Yeah.
And we all are drawn to beauty, you know. And your dad and his trains and his model trains, there's a beauty there in a way. Right. I mean, there is, because, you know, I had friends that really into, our neighbor was into model trains and the work that goes into setting some of those things up, or even trains. I like watching trains go by, but we're all seeking that beauty. And I find that's what needlework creates for me. It creates beauty and calm in my life.
Yeah.
And even, I finished the Linen and Threads 2020 Mystery Stitch Along, and I made it into a project bag because I realized I was not going to hang it on the wall. I mean, the design is beautiful, but I realized, nah, it's never going to hang. So I made it into something else. But it's, to me, the whole, it's beautiful. I can say, I made this. I did this.
Yeah. Right. You created it. Yeah.
I created it.
Yeah. Yeah, and see what cracks me up about my dad. Now, my dad's model train layout, he has a full basement. Half the basement is layout.
Really?
It's massive. Fully electronic. You know, the whistles and bells in the locomotives.
Right.
All the crossings have lights and gates that go up and down. Little towns that are all lit up. You name it. I mean, there's guys camping in the woods with a campfire that glows, you know, everything, all the trimmings. Right. He built it all from scratch, mountains, hills, trees. Like, he makes his own trees, makes his own shrubs. He buys little papal figures, puts them under a giant magnifying glass and paints them. All the mountains are all shaped, and he has a knack for doing it, making it random so it looks like true rock work, not like some human actually put it there. Spray paints the colors on, you know, puts the grass, all of it, you know. And is that art? Darn right it is. I mean, the guy is a master at it. He has people showing up at his house all the time, teach me how to do scenery. He's a master, and he'll do it, and it's like it's nothing. It just falls out of his head. You know, and so 30 years ago, if he'd have said, you mean sewing? See, I could have had that discussion with him. Yeah, how's it? Right. How is that different from the art you create on your layout?
Right.
It's not. It's just not. Different medium.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, right. No, he's an artist. He just doesn't realize it.
Right.
And he can get away with it because it's a manly train thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but no, he's an artist. He absolutely is. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah, but it's those terms, you know, it's just those words that get,
get
in the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll never solve it. We'll never convince anyone. So.
No, we won't.
There we are. All right. We'll now see. Here we are. We got to quit.
Okay. We had one more topic we wanted to talk about, but I guess we'll save that for another time.
Yes. We'll save that. Yeah, I want to actually, and I want to do some more research on that too. So,
okay.
So we'll leave people hanging as to what that topic is.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a good one. And it involves Gay Ann Rogers and color, so look out.
That's right.
We should get
always
her.
Fun.
Maybe we'll just get her to join us.
That would be fun. Oh, and because she's not going to be on camera, she would be perfectly fine with it.
She'll
right?
do it all day long. All right, that's what we'll do.
Excellent.
That's exactly what we'll do. I'll get Gayanne and we'll just have a conversation about that.
Excellent.
There.
Perfect.
So coming up in the near future, Gayanne Rogers will join us and we'll talk about it.
All right.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. As long as she's not on camera, she'll do it just about anything. Pretty much. Pretty much. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. That'll be the deal. That'll be the deal. We just cooked it up right here.
Yep. Now we just got to get her, right?
Oh yeah, that I'm confident we can do that. So,
Great.
yep. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Join us tonight for the a tour on basket art. Now, there's another art form. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Basket
You
art.
learned something.
It's Sydney, Australia, April, Gallery 76. Join us tonight and mark down next Wednesday for the Thread Talk with Kathy Ray. Sunday, Lorraine Turner. There's some art. Oh, is there some art
Oh,
there? Oh,
yes.
man.
There's art there. Wow.
Yep.
Yes.
All that coming up. Thanks for listening.
Bye.